Hey everyone, this is Frank. Just wanted to say a quick word of thanks to all of you for listening, and to those of you who have left us iTunes reviews. Really means a lot to us, so thanks for doing that. And if you haven't, please just consider taking the time while you're listening to the show today to go ahead and leave us a quick review. If you like the show, it would mean a lot to us, help us get visibility, spread the word. Another thing you can do if you want to participate a little bit more in the show is shoot us an email at beerwithgeeks@gmail.com or tweet at us at beerwithgeeks on Twitter. And we would love to hear from all of you, and we might even read your feedback on the show. So thanks for that, and enjoy the show. Bye.
Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles!
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one, because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to episode 6 of Beer with Geeks, the podcast where we reminisce about our geeky childhoods with our un-geeky beer. I'm Tim.
And I'm Frank.
And today we'll be discussing something with the number 6 in it. Oh my goodness, how coincidences do work.
Oh,
let's talk.
That's a terrible coincidence. You should just take a lap. Just go walk.
All right, I'll be right back.
All right, bye.
All right, I'm back. All right.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, the Flash.
Whoa. totally unrelated to today's topic, yeah, though.
You want me to do it again? And I'm back. All right.
Dang.
Today's topic, why don't you introduce it? I know you want to.
The year was 1776. The movie was 1770.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You ready for this?
Six. Yeah. We're both musical fans. Tim and I are both fans of musicals.
We are.
And one of our favorites that we share is 1776. 1776.
Well, now sit down there, Frank.
Sit down, Tim.
Oh.
For God's sakes, thanks. Tim.
Sit down.
Yeah.
All right.
This is one. I feel like this is something that many, many children for a couple of generations now have been watching when they study American history at some point.
Yeah.
The teacher decides what's a good movie I can put on. Somewhat appropriate.
Your choices are either The Patriot or 1776.
Yeah.
So, or National Treasure.
Or National
Treasure. Yeah. And so, which one about our nation's history would you prefer to put on?
Exactly.
You know.
So I watched it in fifth grade. That was my introduction to it. My fifth grade history teacher put it on. Let us watch. I think the whole thing, not the director's cut, which is now the one that's out there.
The prevalent one, yeah.
Yeah, it was the theatrical cut.
Yeah.
On VHS.
Well, let's do a whole setup for the movie.
I mean,
It's not the most common. No, and it was a musical on Broadway
first. Late '60s.
Mid '60s, yep. And it's about the signing of the Declaration of Independence. So you follow John Adams mostly, but also Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin. Those are your three big ones. You know, John Hancock.
Edward Rutledge from South Carolina.
Yeah.
You've got the whole Pennsylvania delegation of John Dickinson.
Yeah.
Delaware
delegation.
That's right. Colonel McKeon. Mm-hmm. Caesar Rodney, of course.
Caesar Rodney.
A bunch of names you know and names you don't know so well.
Yeah.
But they're all real signers of the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
That
guy whose name I can't remember that didn't want to be remembered. You know, like.
That's exactly right.
And so, actually, I know more about
Judge Wilson. Yeah, because
George Wilson.
That's what you remember. I don't think it was a George. I think his name was John.
I think it was John. Okay. Well,
he didn't want to be remembered, so he got his wish.
It was perfect. And so you follow these characters through, and there's like this like John Adams and his wife and their long distance relationship and. You know, whatever else, and Thomas Jefferson and his wife, and when he wasn't, you know, making making other children with other people.
Right.
You know.
Correct.
Before that was even a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and so I was introduced to this film not through school, but through my father.
Yeah. I can see that.
And we found a, well, he found, he talked about this for, I remember him talking about it. And he was like, I want you to watch it. I know you'll like it.
Mm.
And then we finally found it like months later. I remember finding him like, Dad, this is the movie, right? And he said, yeah, we're gonna, let's get it. And so we got it and watched it. And I've been obsessed ever since. And now he and I watch it every July 4th,
yeah,
roughly around the time, except for this year, cause I was not in the country.
Right.
Which is right. A shame, but, yeah, the lasting impact on me that I don't understand how it got to that place.
It's me neither. I remember the music was it's musical. That was the thing that I think gripped me the most on my first viewing.
Sorry.
Yes. All right, sorry. Excellent.
Oh. I'm not even listening
to
you.
But so good. It's so good. There's and we both of us can like sing the entire every song in,
every
in
song
the show
of every
yeah.
But most of the. I would say that it's not like a Phantom or a Les Mis or
no,
anything or a Sweeney Todd or, and it's not, there's no recessive, there's not, there's
yeah.
just, it is straight old school musical.
It is old school musical.
Yeah.
It is like, old school musical.
It's, old school.
It's not a classic per se. In the
I would not in the same way that like My Fair Lady or Sound of Music
right.
or Cinderella
not like
or,
those like Rodgers and Hammerstein greats or anything like that but it is of the same cut from a similar cloth. It's very much of the same style. At the time it was modern for its time. It was modern. It was
raunchy.
It was,
still is raunchy.
It still is kind of raunchy
it's
in
raunchy.
A lot of ways. Yeah.
Well, Ben Franklin. You know.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know that I would say it holds up particularly well, especially the film.
No, it really no. The film is definitely a product of its time.
It's a product of its time, and it's a product of
Mr. Feeny.
Yes, Mr. Feeny is John Adams.
Yeah, worth it for that,
and does an outstanding job.
Yeah,
like
but
I can,
even that is a product of its time now. Because
that's true.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
But seeing, I forever. Since seeing that movie at age 9 or 10 or however old
it
was.
The age I saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will forever, whenever I read John Adams' writings, I hear it in Mr. Feeney's voice.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I hear all those people. I hear, not that you read too much of John Hancock's writings, but when you think of John Hancock,
I think of that face.
I think of that voice, Rutledge, Adams, Franklin. They are what's implanted in the brain. Yeah.
Yes. And what's interesting is that they got, when they made the film, was made in 73.
Mm-hmm.
Show
they waited until 76.
I know, right. And maybe some things had been different if they waited until 76 in the film. But but which we'll get to in a few minutes.
Talking.
Yeah. But it was made in 73, Warner Brothers. Got the Broadway cast, the original Broadway cast, for the most part, to come back and reprise their roles.
Mm-hmm.
So what you have is these seasoned actors, excellent, excellent actors, who have played these roles for hundreds, if not thousands, of performances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're seeing the closest thing that you can get to actually seeing this show
on
the stage.
The
and what's really interesting is that it's shot
long shots.
Yes,
almost like watching a stage production.
Exactly. And I think that's because I'm not sure if it was the same director that directed it on stage, but it was very, very similar to it was definitely done in that style. Even the lighting, if you think about where it'll be like dark and there'll be a spotlight on one person, you don't see that in film. Even in the 60s and 70s,
didn't
really see it in film.
Very stylized version.
Very
of
Very stylized.
That.
Yeah, and it was done because it was done in a stage production style of a movie. It's shot on sets and on location in a lot of scenes. It's not shot on a stage, but it's and there's no audience or anything. It's in that sense, it's done traditionally for a film, but it does have that feel of watching a stage production of something.
Yeah, maybe that's where it feels like it doesn't hold up.
That's why I think it feels like it doesn't hold up. You're like, why is it dark and why is there just a spotlight
dark,
on this one guy?
Very long scene. So the scene in between,
Oh,
let me think about this.
There's a, I know what you're talking about. There's a long stretch.
After the song, The Leaves of Old Virginia.
Yes.
And then, who will sign our dual right, our Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
Whatever the name of that song is, which I can't remember right now. Mr. Adams, I think
But Mr. Adams. Yeah.
That scene is like half an hour of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
One scene, mm-hmm. uncut, just there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's very
it's a long scene.
It's a long, but extremely interesting
if
you are at all interested in the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
Right. So what's funny is they take history and they kind of twist it and make it fit into their box. Like, well, we need to hit these beats and it needs to, mm-hmm. well, here's a song about this. Well, that's not quite the way it happened, but well, yes, now it is.
Now it is.
And that's fine. And it's fun and it works for the film. It's not supposed to be a historical record, so it's fine.
No,
but,
no musical ever claims to be historical.
Exactly, exactly. But it's
the nature of the product you're delivering.
But it's so fun.
Yeah.
And it's done so well. But yeah, there's that long stretch and then there's another stretch towards the end of the film. Where there is absolutely no music, no songs, I should say, for, a good 30, 45 minutes. And it's supposed to be a musical, and you have these giant, like, deserts where there is nothing. Mm-hmm.
The song doesn't even end in music. It ends with when people, they're, spoiler alert, they sign the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, yeah. America becomes a country.
Spoiler.
Don't tell your friends.
Yeah. And so, but it ends just with that solitary bell. And actually, even to this day, I'm not a fan of the ending.
Yeah, the ending's not, yeah.
It's very ominous ending. You're like, what's gonna happen to them?
Yeah.
And you're like, I think I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like when I watch the film Lincoln and the whole movie plays at like, is he gonna die?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh no, it's not. Is he gonna die? Are they gonna sign the bill?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, you know they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
it's not.
You know what's gonna happen.
You know what's going to happen. Yeah. Is the Titanic going to sink?
Right.
You know? It's the same. Although that film was different. It did not focus on, like, is
on the historical events,
you
know, it was more about the characters.
It was about the characters
because they made these fictional characters and you followed their story.
You followed their story,
and the setting just happened to be this historical event.
That's right, exactly. But
whereas this is
the historical event,
but what they did that was very, very smart. And I actually once saw the creator of the show on TV, just being interviewed about it, and he had a really interesting observation, which was not observation, but he used as a device in the show, in Independence Hall, there in the room where the Continental Congress is meeting, there is a calendar, and every day they tear off the page, mm-hmm. for the next day, and so that serves as like the ticking countdown to, like, we know on July 4th, like, it's gonna happen,
right?
But oh my god, it's June 30th or whatever, and they don't have the votes to pass it.
Yeah.
What's gonna happen? Like, it gives you that suspense, even though you know where it's gonna go. He actually thought it was very important to add that device because that gives you the suspense. It gives you like the time is running out feeling. It's like an hourglass.
Going to sign it,
you know it.
That's very interesting.
But that's what gives you it gets you invested because. You're worried. You're invested in the characters because they're funny and they're likable,
right.
And they're quirky, and it's like these people who you feel like you know from growing up. So you've heard of John Adams, you've heard of Benjamin Franklin,
hopefully,
right? Yes. Which you're supposed to have to fully appreciate the show. And now they're being given personalities, and they're very likable and funny. And so you want them to succeed in their goal, and there's only X number of days left. And what are we gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what keeps it interesting. Even though you know what's going to happen.
Right. Oh, that's very interesting. And it's funny that you say that, like, you know these people, that you know these characters, but it's, if you, like we did, I certainly grew up watching this show or this film in any way. I have seen it live. It was great. It was still, that stretch of scenes, still long.
Still long on stage, yeah.
When you read, like, the biography of John Adams or something like that, it is, or if you watch the HBO miniseries, John Adams or whatever else, they are those people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they may be characters in a musical or whatever else, but the amount of care,
mm-hmm.
that they went for, like, you know,
yes.
that's what Ben Franklin was like.
That's true.
That's what John Adams was like. He was obnoxious and disliked.
That cannot be denied.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they are caricatures, they're cartoonish, over-the-top versions of what we know about them from their writings and from history.
Right.
But it's based on fact. It's definitely based on fact. And if you watch an actual documentary, you'll see those traits are there. they're not as overblown as they are in the movie. They're not as flamboyant and
well, our over the personalities top, aren't as flamboyant off of this podcast
that's right.
either.
That's no. right. That's right. Yeah. yeah. But it's yeah, exactly. That's so it's traumatized, true. But it's done so well. Yeah. We're actually exactly like
we're
this.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but it's I really enjoy me. Just this. I enjoy you very much as a co-host.
Thanks.
I really enjoy the way it's very much like an old school musical where the songs just start out of nowhere. It's just we're having literally a conversation and then the music starts up behind them and they start singing.
Yeah.
And it's cheesy and it's fun. It's cheesy it's awesome. And fun.
You should know that you should expect that going into a musical.
Right.
I shouldn't need to give you a reason that I'm going to start singing because it's a musical.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry. It's a musical.
It's a musical. It's
going
to happen.
It's going to happen.
You know
happen.
There's going to be singing. Some people put off by that, and they just think it's weird, and I don't understand. They can't get over it. It's the same way some people can't get over Black and White. Like, I just can't look past that. That's a weird thing that I just can't get around.
Or subtitles.
Or subtitles, exactly,
Or
whatever. Or
gratuitous action.
Yeah.
Or something like that. It's just like some people just like, why would that car blow up?
Right. There's no reason.
There's no reason.
It wouldn't have flipped that way. It wouldn't have. Yeah, yeah. But I think it really works in this movie. And the fact that there are those long stretches where there is no singing speaks to it's almost like it was meant to be a drama and they stuck in some songs.
Yeah.
You know, it's a comedy. It really is a comedy with some heavy drama in it. But
it's almost the Newsies model that way.
It kind of is, yeah.
Newsies was supposed to be a straight drama.
Mm-hmm.
And then right before they started filming, they were like, oh, now it's a comedy with
you know
songs.
What? We're going to seize the day.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And so...
Side note, future episode, Newsies.
Yeah, oh, totally. Now I just have Newsies songs stuck in my head instead of 1776 songs. How dare you... How dare you?
Some fun facts about
turn
this
your
film.
Molasses to
I body. Feel like fun facts is fun facts is like my I guess I do enjoy trivia and I feel like it's become my thing on this show. It's like, here's a fun fact about this thing
that's
we're talking
why
about.
Why I enjoy you.
Thank you.
I enjoy myself.
So there was the theatrical cut and then there was the director's cut.
Gasp.
And the director's cut is what's now on DVD and that's really what you'll find. I don't think you can really
find the theatrical cut.
I don't think
anymore.
So. I don't think it's even like
cuz everyone loves longer movies.
Of course.
Yeah.
Make long movies even longer.
That's my motto.
Yeah. It was already like a 2-hour movie and now it's like 2.5 with all the reinserted scenes.
Yeah.
But it's there's an entire musical number that was cut. It was in the Broadway show and it was cut from the film.
Mm-hmm.
There are just certain scenes that were shortened, I guess, for time. Just things that weren't necessary, gags and jokes and things that were.
They didn't ditch any songs, though. Well, no, that's lying.
They just the one song. Yeah,
lying.
Just the one song.
Yeah.
And then also the beginning, and I hadn't thought about this until recently when I heard some people talking about it. The beginning of the film is actually different in the theatrical versus the director's cut. In the director's cut, which is what I think we've both seen the most of, it starts with John Adams up in the bell tower.
And he runs down the
with the Liberty Bell, and he gets called downstairs. So he runs down the stairs, and as he's running down the spiral staircase, the title just flashes 1776, and there's like background music. The overture plays, and that's it. In the theatrical cut, that didn't happen. There is a traditional opening title sequence. There's no like starting before the opening titles. There's a traditional opening title sequence of just like cards on the screen with the name of the film and the director's name and the cinematographer.
The extended cut has that too. It has opening credits.
It has that. Sorry. But the theatrical cut starts with that and goes directly into him bursting into Congress and yelling at them.
So he doesn't run down.
He doesn't run down the stairs with the credits running while he does that.
Oh yeah, because that's confusing when you said the overture. Because it's not the overture that plays; it's just the beginning.
Sit down,
John. Yeah, that's what I was like. No, it's not right.
Okay, but yeah, instead of starting with him up there in silence and then the music starts and there's credits, with credits.
Yeah,
and it goes directly into him bursting into Congress and yelling at them, and then. Sit down, John starts.
How does that song go? Could you sing it for me?
Sit down, John. Sit down, John. For God's sakes, John, sit down. Yeah.
Right.
It's a very, very singable, very quotable movie, very, very funny, funny movie. But yeah, that's how that happens.
Your voice is piercing, John.
So there was that song that was cut from the film. It was in the Broadway version, and it was cut from the film because it was meant to be commentary on, at the time, the Republican White House administration of Nixon. Right. And Jack Warner...
He was not a crook. I am not a crook.
Jack Warner showed the film to his friend Richard Nixon at the White House, before screened it for him before it was released. And Nixon was furious about this number because he could very clearly see it was supposed to be about him. Mm-hmm. So Warner turned around and, you know, gave studio notes, that sequence has to be cut.
The president does not like this scene.
We're cutting it. Yep. So it was cut.
When the president doesn't, it's not illegal.
Right. Yeah. 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 So, yeah, it was cut and didn't see the light of day until, as far as I know, until the DVD release. Maybe some releases in between that I'm not aware of, but yeah, DVD release, it was restored. That song was restored, and it's one of my favorite songs from the show.
Great song.
To the right, ever to the right, never to the left, forever to the right. Yeah, yeah. It's a very tongue-in-cheek song.
But if you... Yes, it absolutely is. If you are politically minded in any way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you could watch that and be like, okay, never step right, God.
Oh, okay, so yeah. they're walking to the right now, okay.
Yeah, they're dancing.
That's totally about actual directions and moving to the left and
they're
the right.
They're just singing about how they're dancing. That's so dumb.
That's not,
that's what they do in musicals.
I guess, the Founding Fathers had nothing to do.
Yeah.
There's a war going on, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
Don't you know there's a war on? Say the tradesman with a grin. That's another thing that's kind of weird in the way it's done is that John Adams is writing letters to Abigail Adams back in Massachusetts. This obviously takes place in Philadelphia.
Braintree.
Right, yeah.
Farm and Braintree.
That's right. And the way the letters sequences happen is not, you don't see them, it's not like you see him writing and it's like a voice like, "Dear Abigail, I miss you."
Well, thank God.
They do, like right. Too. But it's, I feel like it doesn't work as well in film as it does on stage because what they do is,
it's like a water effect to show that he's there. And
they have them having a conversation in different places. Now on stage, think about it on stage.
Spotlight.
It's like different ends of the stage.
Yeah.
Spotlight.
You get immediately
the idea.
Happening.
They're probably facing the audience, looking at the audience, they're talking, they're writing to each other.
Yeah.
They're obviously corresponding in some way. There's no teleportation. There were no telephones in 1776. Therefore, this must be letters. And in fact, they even make something like, "My last letter I told you, blah, blah, blah." They say that kind of
saltpeter.
Right.
Yeah.
But in the film, you see John standing there, you know, in front of Independence Hall, for example, and you see Abigail standing in front of their farm in Braintree, Massachusetts, and they're looking at the camera, but it looks like, because both of them are looking at the camera and you're going cutting back and forth between looking at the camera, it looks like they're looking at each other.
Right.
And there's like that, you know, like you said, like that fuzzy, we put Vaseline over the camera lens, blurry Star Trek, Captain Kirk in love.
We had to hide the wheels of the vehicle.
Vaseline
on the camera.
Right. You know, but just the fuzzy look, the romantic fuzzy look that's supposed to indicate that this is like a dream.
Yeah.
Or you know, like that they're dreaming about being together, but they're really just writing to each other. It doesn't work. It doesn't really work. It doesn't indicate, I think, the way they were hoping it would. Mm-hmm. Or at least after all this time, 40 years later.
After all this time, I don't 40 think
plus years
it
later.
Doesn't have the same
No, effect. It doesn't just work the way they wanted
really
it to.
What it comes down to is camera techniques at the time and what was available
true.
To them.
It's true. It's true.
Blah, blah, blah. But I
think it was also just like maybe not the best choice. My opinion.
Although I don't, I'd rather have it the way that it is there than them writing a letter with a voiceover.
Oh, absolutely. And I'd rather, or them, like, with spotlights. Like, that wouldn't work in film.
No,
either.
It doesn't. It is. Yeah. Particularly with this movie's spotlighted, but not terribly that way.
Yeah.
You just,
Mama Look Sharp.
Mama Look Sharp. Yeah.
It's a very sad song. It's a depressing song.
I don't... So, you know, it's funny because a lot of the times when you watch the film or listen to the soundtrack or whatever else, I'm like, no, I don't...
I skip it.
And I never do that normally when I'm listening to stuff like that. But I think it makes it very... Like, you're watching this comedy about signing up Declaration of Independence, but not forgetting there's a war on.
There's a war on,
there,
yeah.
There are
and
people
that's what
dying.
They were trying to do. And yeah. Also, let's keep in mind that this was during the Vietnam War, and that's what that was meant to be symbolic of as well.
Yes, 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 yes. And I mean, not that we don't have a war on now.
Now, right, of course.
But I think the way the show is delivered, by the time you get to that moment, it doesn't hit the way you want it to hit. It kind of reverses the pace in the wrong way. And that's
the
end of Act 1.
It kills the momentum.
It kills the momentum because it's the end of Act 1.
Right.
Really. And then you're going right into the egg.
Right.
Which is...
This upbeat.
Which is Jefferson, Adams, and Franklin arguing about what the...
National bird
should be. You know, and like... Which is hysterical because the turkey. You know, the turkey is the noblest of birds.
Yeah. The sustenance of our original settlers.
Yeah. So it's just, I don't like that. So I think it's a beautiful song. It's a great song.
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful song.
Out of context, it's, but I don't like it. It kills the mood.
It kills the momentum. In a Broadway show, you have the sad song. It's emotional. It invokes those images of like, oh, wow, there's a war going on now, too. And these are a lot of things that were.
This is just like my life.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you have the intermission. And you go, you take a few minutes off.
Go for a freezer.
Yeah. And you come back and you have this lighthearted song again. Yeah. You're watching a movie. They're building up this momentum. They're building. Yes, there are, in a sense, there are act breaks in a movie, but not the way there are in a Broadway show. So there's this, where this act break would be, here's this song. And it just feels like a moment killer, a momentum killer.
Yeah.
A showstopper in a bad way. It's just like... Oh, okay, that was a downer. Now what? Make me laugh, guys.
Yeah, make me laugh. And actually, the second act of the show has that... It has the egg, but the second act of the show, or in that case, the movie, it is a downer of an act, because it starts off funny with the egg and the arguing of the birds, and that's it.
Yeah, then you go straight into... Arguing about slavery, arguing about all the, that's when you get to the point where you're like, oh my God, it's June 30th and they haven't agreed yet. The entire South delegation walked out of the Continental Congress with no sign of coming back. Mm-hmm. Franklin and Adams start fighting about, where they need to stand their ground and where they need to.
Caesar Rodney's not there.
Caesar Rodney's not there. Yeah. It gets.
It's hot outside.
Someone didn't open up a window.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
McNair ran out of rum. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, stuff's going down. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're right. It does become, that's where the problems really start to arise.
Yeah.
And, but then Act 3. Well, okay, but before we get to Act 3, Act 2 has one of my favorite songs, which is Molasses to Rum.
Molasses to Rum.
The guy who played Edward Rutledge was... They wanted him in the Broadway show, but he was unavailable at the time.
Oh,
and when they made the film, they got him.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's very interesting.
It was written with him in mind. The role was written with him in mind. And then they got him. If you've seen Mad Men, this is the guy who is the head of Lucky Strike. He's the older gentleman. Mm-hmm. In the first episode of Mad Men... Actually, the first time I saw Mad Men, I was shown that episode and I saw him and I was like, "That's Edward Rutledge from 1776." Okay, I like the show.
Yeah, I was in college. I was in a show called Urinetown.
Oh yeah, of course.
Which is love that show. It's hysterical. In the original cast, he plays the bad guy in the original cast of the show. So I was listening to the recording and I was like, "I know that voice."
Yeah,
it's Rutledge. Caldwell B. Gladwell, played by Edward Rutledge, played by guy whose real name I don't know.
I don't remember his name. Yeah, but outstanding performance and outstanding actor in general. Really, really love that song, and it's very. That's another powerful song that could be seen as a momentum killer, but the way it's placed and the way it's performed, I think it helps to progress the story a little more than Mama Look Sharp does.
Yeah, way more.
It's more integral to the story
at that very moment.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It advances the plot. Just in our last couple of minutes here,
we're gonna get real.
We're going to get serious.
No, and then Act 3, things start to turn around. They
because we've crossed the Rubicon.
Right. The bridge's been burned behind us, come what may.
Yeah.
They start to make compromises where they need to. Okay, fine, we're not going to criticize the king for slavery. And the way that was done, I think, was very... It was done with the eye, an eye to the to looking at history.
Yeah.
And, like, we all have the knowledge, like, oh, this is something that we all know this is going to plague the country for decades.
Yeah.
For many more decades before it's finally resolved.
Roughly,
almost a century.
Almost a century. Yeah. I was going to say just
for,
about a century.
For about 90 more years, yeah. And so it's interesting because the tone, the gravity with which it's handled, the way, like, Benjamin Franklin says, like, we have to, this is one that we, this is a battle we can't win today. Like, there's nothing we can do right now. As much as it seems unthinkable not to do it, to fight this fight, we can't win it today. It's not, like, it's like we're not ready for it yet. The country's not ready for it yet.
Mm.
And the tone with which that's done, I think, is so... It just handles it in a very serious but very appropriate way, as appropriate as it can be for something that's that serious.
Agreed. I was really enraptured by the way that you said that, and just tell me more things that are important.
Listening
to you.
I'm really important.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. It's handled very 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 well. And they handle it with the correct amount of seriousness, even though it is a comedy. They handle that with
definitely
seriousness.
By the end of the film, it's definitely a dramedy.
Absolutely. By the end, it gets a lot more dramatic, and then they finally everyone comes back together. The South agrees. Yes,
very nice.
The South agrees that, you know, if their demands are met, then okay, we can all unanimously vote that we want to separate from Great Britain. They finally draft up the final version of the Declaration, which John Adams makes sure that. That he changes inalienable to unalienable.
Yep.
Which actually happened, by the way.
Yep. Because he was obnoxious and disliked. Yep.
And the movie ends with them taking the roll call, and everyone one by one comes up and signs the declaration.
Yep.
And you hear the Liberty Bell ringing in the background as they each sign their names, and that's how it ends.
That's the end.
And it's like this almost like. It's like these
melancholy.
Melancholy, yeah. That's a good word for it. Melancholy, yeah. There's
you
just,
get the gravity of what just happened.
These
by the
men
end.
Are signing their lives away. Like they are committing treason.
Dead. If they lose, they're dead.
Literally, yeah. Like they have made a list of come find us and kill us because these are our names and we all are agreeing to this. We're responsible for this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now it does. And that happens on July 4th, which didn't really happen on July 4th.
Right. But that's
It was, I believe it was ratified on July 4th, but they didn't sign until later July or even maybe early August.
And they also recopied it.
Yes.
Yeah, because they had to make it look pretty.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, the actual one. Yeah. Yeah. The one that's like in the National Archives now, and that's like the copy.
Yeah.
Is
that's the pretty copy.
Right. It's the pretty copy.
That's the pretty copy.
Right.
Before we end, if you can boil it down, what's your favorite line from the film?
I think it's the one where, and I can't quote it completely because it's kind of a long one, but it's the one where Adams and Franklin are talking and Adams is feeling down on himself and he's saying like, he's talking about Franklin and Washington and...
And Franklin the horse... And Washington.
No, Franklin, Washington,
and the horse
conducted the entire revolution.
Together and won the revolution or whatever.
Yeah.
He's like, and Franklin's like, I like it.
I like it, yeah.
Yeah.
He's saying, like, these guys are so much better than me. Yeah. And, you know, Franklin hits the ground with his miraculous lightning rod. And up from the ground springs Washington on his horse.
That was going to be one of my... I mean, Franklin really
Franklin is a show stealer.
He gets most of the good lines. Not all of them, but he gets most of them. And I mean, like, stuff like, I invite you along, but talking makes her nervous. You know, stuff like that. What's the matter? You've ever been in the presence of greatness before.
You know. Latest thing from New York, John, it's called music.
John, please, your voice is hurting my foot. My favorite line, though, I think is actually Thomas Jefferson's line.
Okay.
And when Jefferson's been like hidden away up, you know, writing the Declaration for a week, and Adams and
a week. The entire earth was created in a week. And then Jefferson says,
"Someday you must tell me how you did it." To which Adams,
disgusting.
I love that line. It's just fantastic. I've been waiting my whole life to use that line. Someday I will have my chance. I will have it. Very good.
Yeah. And today is not that day.
It is not. Today is the end of our day.
I think so. I think we've covered this pretty well. So for Beer with Geeks, I play the violin.
I play the violin. So many to choose from.
For Beer with Geeks, I play the violin.
And saltpeter. Cheers.
Cheers. Pins.
This podcast is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. All character names, sound effects, and quotes are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Thought Bubble Audio Studios, unless otherwise indicated.